Welcome, detectives and private eyes, to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures, then review them in a postmortem. We also invite special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other RPG personalities out there to help us along the way. Hi, I'm Kilkenny, your half and champion gladiator. In this one-shot adventure, we'll be playing a murder mystery called Love Sorrow by Tara Hooper. The adventure is available at DM's Guild, and you can follow Tara on Twitter at LadyCatTho. Our special guest PC is the man, the myth, the legend, Tyler Hewitt, from the astoundingly popular podcast, Dumb Dumbs and Dragons. You can find Dumb Dumbs and Dragons wherever you get your podcasts. Now, ready your notepads, put your thinking caps on, and sharpen your pencils as you listen to Love Sorrow by Tara Hooper.
Hello. Howdy.
Howdy.
How's it going?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Oh, you there?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Hey.
Hello.
Howdy.
Am I coming through okay? Can you hear me all right?
I hear you just perfect.
Yep. Okay, yep. Great.
Okay, Tyler, you're the guest of honor.
I am.
Yes, and so if you could please introduce yourself.
As myself or as my character?
Let's start with yourself, then let's go into character.
Hello, my name is Tyler Hewitt. I'm one of the main cast on a D&D live or actual play podcast called Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where I play a halfling called Quinny Brown Barrow, a rogue. I didn't roll him up for this, though. I wanted to make a special character just for this. So that character is a tabaxi monk. And I've never played a tabaxi or a monk before. His name is River in the Valley, just due to tabaxi naming conventions, but you can just call him River for short. And I don't know if you want to get into meeting him in the game or if you want me to go into some further detail.
Further detail. Yeah I'm going to fling everybody right into the utter chaos. Right. Yeah.
Cool. So he's a very curious cat. He his clan basically lives in seclusion, and when the tabaxi of his clan reach a certain age, they go out into the world, and they explore, they learn, they travel, they meet people, and once they get of a certain age, usually getting on in their years, they come back as elders to their clan, and they bring with them all the lore and knowledge and information that they brought with them. So while tabaxi clans are often quite remote, they're usually pretty well in the know. So River is on his pilgrimage to learn about all kinds of things, and so he's got some serious ADD, but it's for it's for the greater good. It's for a greater cause.
So you're basically playing a cat, what you're saying?
Yeah, basically wherever the laser pointer goes, I'm going to follow it with great interest.
Oh wow, that's going to be great for this one. Okay, and Papa Fox.
Hello. Tonight I'm playing Tracky. He is a Wood Elf Ranger, and he's going by his child name. He hasn't earned his adult name yet, even though he's level 8. So he's questing for that purpose, to gain that honor.
Nice. He's part of that Wood Elf tribe that goes real hard.
Oh, yeah, real hard.
Like, you level 20 yet? Nope, then you're not a man. Get out there.
All right, let's continue on then. Jake.
Yes, you can call me Dahmer Miralan. I am a drow warlock rogue.
Okay.
I'm starting to be really glad that I didn't choose drow as one of my favorite enemies.
You know, that could play pretty well in this one. Okay, just real quick, we're going to be playing a murder mystery on this one, so I can totally see the whole good cop, bad cop routine going on right there.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, and Kitty.
All right, so the only level 8 character I have prepared is Kika Woundkiller Kalagaga, and she is a nomadic warrior of the Goliath race who is kind of looking for her parents, but it's not a big deal. She's out there to make a name for herself, and she's gentle, and she's just trying to learn her surroundings and be helpful and survive.
Okay, that is pretty rad. Tyler, I don't know if you ever had a chance to listen to any of our episodes before.
I was trying to find the one that Tom McGee guested on, and I was just having a hard time tracking it down. I was also trying to do this while driving, so it's not a good idea. I can't wait to fixate on the very first detail you described to me and just make that my entire life.
Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and get started. Everybody here are well-known detectives in your respective regions, in your respective realms. Y'all were called in to investigate a brutal murder of a newlywed couple on the night of their wedding. And so the police have come up with no solid evidence and believe the murderer to be this one called the Red Lady. And so chapter one, y'all are greeted by an officer who directs you over to the murder scene. And he shows y'all the scene. He excuses himself. And if you look over, hold on, everyone enroll me a perception check real quick.
That's an 8 from tracking.
That would be 11 from Dammer.
11 for River as well.
22 for Kika. She is a tracker. Yes, I am. He's got proficiency.
Okay, then Kika, you hear and you smell vomit. Now, he's trying to be cool about it. He's actually taking off to throw up around the corner.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Smell.
All right, so y'all are now at the murder scene, and I'll leave it up to y'all what y'all want to do.
What is the murder scene? Were they killed in their room? Were they killed in their home?
They were killed at Helter Manor. They were flung, from what you could tell, off a balcony and onto the floor in front of you. So a little bit of a splattering type of scene.
So it's okay. Inside the manor, over, they were thrown over a banister, like in the hallway?
No, I'm sorry, over a balcony. So this is outside.
Okay.
Outside, okay.
All right, so I'm going to roll investigation. Judging by the arterial spray, was the body dropped from the second or third balcony?
All right, roll it.
16 plus 6. It's going to be a 22. Oh, wait, no. It's plus 7. That's the 23.
Okay. Then that's going to be the second floor.
I believe this guy was dropped from the second floor.
Correction, two bodies.
Oh, there's two bodies.
Yes.
Husband and wife, right?
Yep, newlyweds.
Oh, that's a shame.
Let me see. With that investigation roll, you can tell that the man appears to have broken his neck and died on impact, but the woman was also pierced through her heart. Crimson blossoms from the open wound on her chest and to the ground around her.
Oh, and she didn't appear to have fallen on anything, does she?
No.
All right. Would I be able to... climb up, let's expedite this instead of taking the stairs. I'm going to climb up the outside of the house to the second floor balcony.
All right, roll it.
See what the situation is like up there. Let me just hop over to my dice roller thing. So, nat 20. Awesome.
Yeah, you're not wasting any time. You go right to the source.
Yeah, so I, through a series of flips and ambling up, I find myself at the top of the balcony. What's the situation up there on the second floor balcony?
Well, damn, dude, you kind of rushed it. Hold on a sec.
Yeah, I heard a kid coughing. Here they come.
My 2-year-old already made it into my bedroom, and now he's laying next to me in the bed over here.
Well, I guess we found the killer.
Killer with cuteness.
Aww.
Duh.
You're alone with him. Oh, my God.
Okay, what you see here is a large canopy bed sitting in the center of the room. Cashmere sheets lay on the bed, and it's overflowing with plush pillows. On the wall to the left of the door, crimson curtains are drawn. There's a chest at the end of the bed. A chest of drawers sits in the corner. Inside are the newlyweds' clothes. There are two nightstands on either side of the bed. The balcony is beyond the drawn curtains.
So I'll lean over the balcony and yell to the group below, "We got cashmere!" And they'll know what that means. And
I live in the woods. I do not know cashmere.
Okay. What is
cashmere?
Well, you know what? I hear that and I'm like, oh my God, well, we got to solve this problem right now. Because it's not cashmere. So I go over to that bed, rip up those cashmere sheets and make a rope ladder for everyone to climb up to the balcony. I don't care if they let us take the stairs. I am not letting anyone take the stairs. You're all scaling the side of this building.
Who found the bodies?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Good question.
That's a very good question.
Watch a lot of detective shows.
Oh, nice.
Forensic Files every time I sleep.
We're set. Just let her do everything.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I've got the cat.
No, you didn't get that I was doing the CSI theme in the beginning.
That's right, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize how much that would tie in. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait a minute. Is your character wearing shades, though?
No.
Wrong CSI.
Isn't that Miami?
Yeah, hey, it's all the Who.
No, it's got to, hang on. Here's the intro. Till death puts on shades, do they part? Ow!
There you go. Wow, there are a lot of people on here.
How many total spectators are outside right now?
Spectators, really, it's just the police force out there. They're just, you know.
They have it quartered off.
They have it quartered off. They're trying to let y'all take a look at everything before they move the bodies.
How long have the bodies been here, or how long ago were they discovered?
The murder happened last night, so they were discovered shortly after that.
Is it morning now, or is it still dark?
It is morning now.
Okay.
I want to go ahead and take a closer look at the bodies.
Okay. Let's see. Let's roll a medicine check.
17.
Okay. With a 17, it's revealed that the couple was murdered during the midnight hour of the previous night.
Oh, end of the hour. Pretty good.
That also reveals that the woman was stabbed after falling from the balcony.
What? What so the hell are you even doing up here then?
She may have still been alive when she hit the ground, and the killer would have come down to make sure they were dead and finish her off.
That
sounds right.
Yep.
So is there a blood trail leading from her body then? I was expecting to find blood up here, but if she was stabbed down there, is there a blood trail?
No blood trail.
Where's the weapon?
That was my next question. I want to make an investigation check of the wound to see if I can determine what kind of weapon actually did it, like how large the weapon was.
Alrighty. Yeah, go ahead and make another medicine check.
Oh, 21.
With a 21, the wound is very cleanly cut and likely made by a bladed object. The stab wound is a singular puncture through the heart. It's not a very large puncture, only about 3/4 inch in diameter.
Okay, I'm going to relay that information.
Is this one of those, is this like that riddle where it's an icicle? I check the balcony for icicles hanging.
She was killed with an ice spike? Couple. Is that what you're saying? Someone cast ice spike through her heart? That's pretty harsh. It's cold-hearted.
This was very, it looks like execution style. I mean, it was very precise, so.
He was very skilled with blade then.
Did the couple have any enemies?
Yeah, did they have any kind of reputation? Are they a prominent public couple or anything like that?
As far as you know, nope.
Is this their manor?
It is not theirs.
They were on honeymoon?
Yeah, they just got married.
Is the owner available to be interviewed?
Yes, actually, the owner is inside and waiting. We have some officers over there with them.
Is he in the room? Did he just see me climb in through the balcony and start like asking questions? Like,
that room is okay. Empty at this point.
Oh, okay, okay.
Charlatan!
This is your murder house. Okay. Should we start interviewing people, or do you think there's anything else we can gather from examining the bodies and the murder scene?
Anyone?
I have no idea what else we should investigate on the bodies or the scene. We might want to start talking to people because this looks deeply personal, if not an assassination.
Okay. How about somebody roll me another perception check?
You don't want me.
You don't want me either. That is a 12 total.
22.
Oh, there we go.
All right, clutch. Nice, dude. Okay.
I'm sorry, 26.
Damn, dude. All right, show off.
Well, I rolled a 20.
Oh, damn. All right, so what you hear are some of the other police officers around there. They're having a conversation about what you hear as the Red Lady. A few of the officers believe the Red Lady to be the culprit. Other officers doubt her existence. You know what? With the 20, I will also reveal that the Red Lady is the ghost that is supposedly haunting Von Helter Manor, which is where you're at, and she is rumored to prey on beautiful young women. This case is nearly identical to two other murders on the Von Helter Manor grounds over the last century. The other two murders were never solved, and the officer that headed those investigations was Lyra Nolan, and that's the officer that's waiting for y'all inside, downstairs. Through the front.
Okay. With that information, being that I am a ranger and I have access to primeval awareness, I'm going to expend a spell slot just to test that theory and see if it's true. It says if I expend a spell slot for 1 minute per level of the spell slot, I can sense whether any of the following types of creatures are present within 1 mile or 6 miles if I'm in my favorite terrain. What's the terrain here? Is it woodland, plains, mountains? What is it?
City.
City. Okay. So if there are any undead within a mile, fae, fiends, elementals, dragons, celestials, or aberrations, I can tell. And I can't tell their location or number, but I know that they're there.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely sense a lot of ghosts around.
Okay.
You really right. So, but you can't tell exactly the direction they're from, right?
Okay. So, no, I can't. So I will share that information with the rest of the party that the Red Lady may very well indeed be a ghost and that there's a lot of undead and ghosts in the area.
Okay.
But that's within that mile radius, right?
Yeah. Within a mile.
Yeah.
They could be ghosts at one of the other manors, you know? Who knows? So we know just from a general knowledge that the Red Lady is a ghost that would attack beautiful newlywed women.
With that role, I would say yes.
So I'm going to look over the balcony again. Is this woman lying on the ground out there? She good looking? Does this match the ghost's MO?
Yeah, she does, as a matter of fact.
Man, all right. So the Red Lady remains a suspect. I'm going to jump down. I'm going to drop down from the balcony because I was getting bored up there. I thought I'd find more gruesome, bloody stuff, but there was nothing.
Very cool. You do that with ease, with a natural 20.
Perfect. Should we go meet up with Lyra then, gang?
Sure.
Lyra Nolan? Lyra?
By all means.
All right, so yeah. She's in the front door?
Just past the threshold. And you see a tall, high elf woman. Has light blonde hair and soft gray eyes. She appears generally approachable. There's a hard steeliness in her eyes that takes everyone by surprise, but that's pretty much what you'd see with a cop who's been around and seen some shit. She's got a little notepad and everything going over her notes. See y'all over. Over here.
Hello, Officer Nolan.
Hi.
We're being led to believe that the Red Lady is the prime suspect in this grizzly case yet again. Third time this century.
That's what Lord Von Helter keeps hammering away. And you look over and you see Lord Helter is being more or less like pushed back a little bit, you know, just secured away, trying to get some distance between he and her. You could tell that there must have been some kind of altercation between the both of them, a little bit of an argument. Yeah, according to him, it's the Red Lady. And that's all he keeps pressing me about.
Well, it's his his manner. Of course, he wants to blame it on some intangible thing that can't keep him from opening his business and renting his rooms.
Well, I ask her, and according to you, what's your take on all this?
Okay, so she looks over at you and says, you know, between you and I feel like the Red Lady is a total hoax.
Oh, okay, and when were you called in? Yes.
That would be Isaac Whitley, the butler.
The butler did it. I mean, that's all.
I know that. So another suspect.
I don't know if I think River really does buy into that the butler just always does it. So he's gonna say, like, you mean you had the butler and you let him slip through your fingers?
It's got to be one of the residents who committed the crime.
All right, any idea where we should begin outside of the second story?
Who was here at the time of the murder? Do you have any idea if anyone was coming or going or staying here at that time?
I mean, honestly, we just got the suspects, you know, here. There's obviously Luca von Helter. There's also Isaac Whitley. You saw him on the way in here. Harriet Sturgis. Harriet Sturgis. She spends the majority of her time tidying around the manor. Sophie Taylor, she's the chef, and that's pretty much our suspects.
Oh,
that's Sophie Taylor?
Yes, Sophie Taylor.
Okay, the chef. And what is, is it Lord Luca von Helter, or is Luca von Helter separate from Lord von Helter? Are they two people or one person?
They're the same person.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And so she kind of continues on. Yeah, so there's the guest bedroom to check out, the lounge, the wine cellar, and the library. Those are our four areas that pertain to this case. None of the other rooms have had any leads or anything. Those are all blank.
Okay.
You wouldn't happen to know if Von what's his name, whatever his name is.
I don't know Von what's his name.
Oh, from the what's his name manor? Just at
the corner of the street. The what's his name never.
Of the what's his name. You wouldn't happen to know if he has a ledger.
Oh, a ledger.
Any bookkeeping?
If he does, it doesn't really pertain to this case, really.
Well, if there are murders that are occurring in the last 3 months, it might.
Oh, no, not in the last 3 months. This just happened last night.
Yes, but there could be a connection to the other murders that have happened in the past. We're just here to make sure that there isn't anything in common.
You know, I was there for the other two murders that happened centuries ago, and no, those kind of came up blank.
Okay.
All right.
During the other two murders, were the brides pierced through the heart?
Actually, that's a very good question. Yeah, no, they were.
Both of them were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's walk and talk. Please show us to the room on the second floor.
Actually, y'all can go by yourselves. I have to get rid of these bodies, you know, public eye and everything. Got to get this all cleaned up.
I've been up to the bedroom. It's boring. We can go again if you guys want to. I'm just saying it's not as exciting as two dead bodies.
Hold on. Wait, what? When were you in the bedroom?
Oh, I climbed up the outside.
Yeah, he nat 20'd that thing.
Yeah.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, that's right. Recognize my skills, officer.
I have another question.
Yep.
Was there anything missing from their room or on their persons? Like, do they still have their rings? Was anything stolen?
What we could decipher? No, nothing really.
No further questions.
Well, this isn't a trial. It's okay.
I know.
Sustained.
I'll allow it.
I'm walking toward the stairs.
Yeah, let's all go as a group to the room, right, and then put more eyes on it instead of me just kind of having been casually interested in what's in there.
Okay, now let's see.
Another cashmere.
This is cashmere. So that's all you're going to do with the detective then?
For now.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, is she going to stick around, or are we getting the impression that she's going to leave after this?
Oh, she's definitely going to leave. She's just trying to get as much information as she can right now before, obviously, leaving with the bodies and everything, you know, get everything to the morgue corner.
Has she interviewed anyone yet?
I don't know. You already left. You want to go back?
Just like I'm halfway up the stairs like, hey, did you talk to anyone? About the bodies at the manor here.
He's like, yeah, sure have. Anything else?
Anyone fess up to it?
Not yet. That's why we have y'all here.
Worth a shot. And I'll go up to the room.
Okay. All right, so you have the guest bedroom, library, lounge, and the wine cellar.
I think we wanted to check that guest bedroom first for any missing stuff or anything else.
I wanted to take a look around the room that actually has the balcony from which they were supposedly thrown.
Yeah, that's the guest bedroom.
Okay, so yeah, there first.
Okay.
I'll check out the library.
So you're splitting up the group, right? You're splitting up the party? Is that what I heard?
That's what you heard.
Okay. You're going to the lounge.
Go two and two then?
Two and two.
I'll pair up with you and I'll go to the library with you.
All right.
Okay.
River and Dammer to the library.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like Starsky and Hutch almost. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Across the hood of our carriage.
Red carriage with a little white stripe.
Yeah.
All righty. So let's do this first. Since we already checked out the guest bedroom, let's split over to the library real quick, and we'll do that fairly quickly here. As you enter the library, you notice bookshelves filled with rare and exotic books. A fireplace keeps the room warm year-round. A singular mahogany desk sits in the center of the room. Candles and paperwork are scattered about the tabletops. Multicolored moonlight cascades onto the hardwood floors from the stained glass windows. It is the first room that gives a sense that it has been lived in.
Okay. Those books would pique River's interest just because of his pilgrimage to pick up knowledge and information and learn things. Can I take a closer look at the books?
Sure.
Want to see a roll for that, or how would you like to proceed?
Paint me a scene real quick.
River will, in kind of typical tabaxi fashion, you know, being kind of very in their body, not very physically awkward as a rule, will hop onto that like library, like ladder on wheels thing that a lot of fancy libraries have, and just kind of ride it around the room until he stops at a section of books and will peer closer to see where he's found himself.
Okay, roll me an investigation check.
Investigation? Ooh, nat one. I just want to ride the ride. I just want to ride the ladder. I actually don't care about the books anymore. When I got on the ladder and found that it could move, game changer.
We're trying to be serious looking around the room, and he's just sliding like Belle, just going back and forth.
Yes. In fact, if this were a television show, the static camera would show Dammer doing serious detective work and me just panning back in the background.
Yeah.
On a ladder.
All right, then how about this? Do a quick acrobatics check.
Acrobatics, okay. Wow. This is not great either. That's just a 10 with my plus 7 to acrobatics. 10 total.
All right. So with that 10, I mean, you're a cat. You're exploring the space and everything. You actually, all right. It goes flying, and though you are very nimble,
mm-hmm.
it collides in one of the corners. How normally it's just supposed to have this curvature to it. It locks because you're going so fast, and your weight just carries it over, and you go fumbling off of it, and you collide with a bookshelf, knocking over some of the books, and you actually find a hidden door.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. You're welcome.
Not
I swear to God.
Oh, you're just mad it wasn't you.
We should leave through the secret door before someone finds out what I've done. Someone sees the mess I've made.
Is the library close enough to the guest room for me to have heard him slam into the bookcase?
It is not. It's a very big matter. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and so before I follow him into the secret entrance, I dig into the lining, the inner pocket of my jacket, and I take out a little jar, and I unscrew the top, and I pour a spider out of my hand, and set it up on the shelf, and I whisper to it, let me know if you see anybody come in here, okay? And then it takes its little pedipalp, and then it just kind of salutes me, and then I follow the tabaxi.
Kika would like to stay in the library and browse for a book on the Red Lady, or something about her.
That's okay, I'm in the bedroom by myself.
Yeah,
oh, so this is Kashmir.
Well,
hey, keep that door unlocked and cracked.
That's actually one of the first things I want to check when I go into the bedroom. Does that door lock?
Yes, it does lock, and it's unlocked.
Okay. Does it need a key to lock, or does it have a latch? Or
Just a latch. It has a latch action.
Okay. I want to check it to make sure that it actually works.
And it works.
Okay. Then I'm going to keep the door unlocked, and then I want to take a look around the room. If you could read me the room description again, that'd be great.
Here we go. A large canopy bed sits in the center of the room. Cashmere sheets lay on the bed. Well, no, actually, no, they're not. They're hanging over the balcony, and it's overflowing with plush pillows. On the wall to the left of the door, crimson curtains are drawn. There's a chest at the end of the bed. The chest of drawers sits in the corner. Inside are the newlywed's clothes. There are two nightstands on either side of the bed. The balcony is beyond drawn curtains.
Okay, so the curtains were originally closed. Were they closed or were they drawn open?
This just says drawn open.
Okay. So I'm just going to do a thorough search of the room, see if I notice any evidence of a struggle or any blood or just anything at all.
Nope.
Not even going to have me make an investigation check?
Nope.
Okay. All right, then I will walk out of this room and rejoin the rest of the party. I heard them talking about going to the library, so that's where I'll head.
So let's go to Kika.
Yes.
What were you doing?
Browsing the shelves and all the books and scrolls to see if there's anything about the Red Lady.
Ooh, good one.
She's never encountered a ghost before, and she's wondering if there's any more information.
Nope. You find nothing on the Red Lady.
Plops down in a meditative state, I guess. Not sure what to do. She's not that intelligent. She's wise, but not intelligent.
Okay.
Hey, Kika, have a look at this. Huh?
Kika lifts her head.
Fancy secret door over here, like in all the stories.
Oh.
This, as far as I'm concerned, is just more evidence that the butler did it. Secret entrance, butler did it.
Damor and Shraki, or I don't know what's going on. She plops back down into a meditative state.
River's curiosity is leading him straight in there.
Have I shown up yet?
I'll say you've shown up as he's pointing it out to Kika.
Okay, that's interesting. I have a question on my mind. Where are the staff right now? Are they still in the building, or have
No, they're still in the building.
I'm just thinking that the maid and the butler should both have keys to every door in the manor, so they would have access to the murder victims at that time of night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So Isaac Whitley was over by the front door. He's the one that led y'all into the manor. See, there's Harriet Sturgis and Sophie Taylor. Sturgis is the primary housemaid. Sophie Taylor is the chef. I will say that Harriet Sturgis is in the lounge, and Sophie Taylor is in the kitchen area.
Okay. I suggest that we don't split the party anymore. We should probably check out this secret door while we have it open before anything can be taken away or hidden through any other entrances or exits. Let's investigate this and then talk to some people.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, so I'll describe the library again. As you enter the library, you notice bookshelves filled... Hold on a second. Hey, close your eyes. No, that didn't work. I don't know what else to do. Okay, so as you enter the library... as you enter the library, you notice bookshelves filled with rare and exotic books. The fireplace keeps the room warm year-round. A singular mahogany desk sits in the center of the room. Candles and paperwork are scattered about the tabletops. Multicolored moonlight cascades onto the hardwood floors from the stained glass windows. It is the first room that gives the sense that it has been lived in.
Okay, and the secret door is wide open behind that bookcase?
Yeah, with all the knocked over books and everything, the bookshelves.
Okay.
Those books were like that when we got here.
Signs of a struggle.
I agree.
Signs of a struggle.
Let's see. Would you mind holding that door open? I want to check something out real quick. And I walk over to the mahogany desk, and I'm going to inspect the paperwork and the drawers.
Okay. Then give me, an investigation check?
Yep. That is going to be a 13.
You don't really find anything out of the ordinary. You do see a ledger, but going through it, it doesn't really give you any kind of insight.
Okay.
River's getting like antsy, like a child now, just like getting real excited to check out this secret passage. Just like, guys, come on. Secret passage.
How far does it go?
I would love to find out.
I'll go with you, River.
Yes! And River will take off down the passage.
Well, the door's locked. You can't go down the passage.
River enthusiastically turns around and slams into a locked door. And is like, ow, my fucking nose.
That's not how doors work.
Aha, I see. And I try the handle and it's locked. Is there a keyhole?
There is a keyhole.
Can I attempt to pick the lock?
Ha-ha.
You can try.
I do have proficiency with thieves' tools.
Well, by all means, after you.
Enroll it.
Rolling. That is a 19.
With a 19, you have this ability to sense every little bitty motion with the tools on the fingertips of your hands. And you've done this hundreds, possibly thousands of times before. And you start twisting, pulling, pushing with the tools like a surgeon. You're very accurate and very careful, and nothing.
I don't accept this. I'm getting impatient now. I'm gonna try and kick the door down.
Kika pops her head into the hallway. Is everything okay?
Oh, better idea.
Hell no, nothing Kika. Is okay. Whoever
kicked this door down.
Oh, you need my 7'8" wide ass to fit in here and kick down a door.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
By all means.
You all might want to move out of the way. She
steps back.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll athletics.
Oh God. Okay. I'm believing that the corridor there is probably pretty cramped because it's yeah. She rolled a 5. But she's proficient, so it's actually a 13. She proceeds to squeeze her way through the door with her mace and points it blunt tip first and attempts to ram into it.
Okay. And you said it was a 15?
Total, yes.
Okay. So it's enough to aim for the door, but the space to Kika ratio is not that well. And as you're trying to ram it, you actually bump into the desk, the mahogany desk, knocking it over, and the drawer comes flying off. And when the drawer comes flying off behind it, a small skeleton key comes flying out of it.
Oops. Did I break it?
I go retrieve the key.
I broke it.
And then I bring it over to the door and see if it fits in the lock.
And it does.
So I unlock the door. And everybody ready?
Yeah. High five to Kika for finding the skeleton key.
I told you I had a big ass.
I look up. Oh, yes, good job. And then I pull the door open.
Okay, let's see here. The desk, there's a desk containing multiple papers and ledgers relating to Luca's shipping business. You're able to surmise from these papers that Luca's shipping business also participates in smuggling from time to time. The bookshelf to the left of the desk contains multiple books on necromancy and exorcisms.
Oh, God, this asshole.
What type of person was this guy again? Is he human? Is he an elf? What is he?
When you took a look at him, you can tell he's a classically handsome high elf. Blue eyes, strong jaw, platinum blonde hair pulled back into a low braid.
And we know that the previous murders, that at least murders here that the Red Lady was a suspect of, the bride had been stabbed in the heart. Is there any kind of ceremonial knife or human remains in this office near these necromantic books or anything like that?
No, but you do notice a locked chest.
Oh, well, I look to the two most successful lock breakers I know. Kika and Tracky.
I'm gonna take that skeleton key out of the door and see if it will fit in the chest as well.
And that one does not.
Okay.
That skeleton key, huh?
Then we need to toss this room and see if there's anything that we didn't see on first glance.
I'm good for wrestling. I'm just kidding.
Actually, no. As a matter of fact, that's probably all right. Kika, grab that chest. We're gonna drag that thing out of here.
Okay. Kika goes to lift it, and she was unclear on how she was instructed, so she just starts swinging it at the wall. She picks it. She is attempting to pick it up to throw it against the wall. So, strength check.
Yes.
All right. Natural 20. Plus 2.
Gosh, the wall is an improvised weapon.
Might put a hole through the wall.
All right, so explain to me, give me that theater of the mind picture. How does it come open? How would Kika go for it?
Kika had grabbed both sides of the chest, swings it over her head, and just like throws it against the wall. And it's made of wood.
Yes.
The whole thing just shatters. Everything splinters everywhere. There, and whatever contents were inside are probably strewn about the room too.
And I'll say this much. The one thing that stays intact is the locking mechanism with the actual latch and everything.
Because of course
it does.
That's
a damn fine lock.
Yes, I know these types of locks. They cost as much as this house.
And with that, you also see a silver hand mirror. That's, luckily it didn't break. An ivory comb with a depiction of a rose on the handle. An old gold wedding ring with two rubies and a single diamond. Two vials of holy water. How they stayed intact, I don't know, but it just happened, and that's canon. A small scrap of red fabric that has grown musty and faded with age. A bill from nearly a century ago, and I'll let you investigate that. And a journal. And on the front, it says Luca's secret diary.
That's not obvious.
Oh, that's mistake number one there, Luca. Do not read. No girls allowed. My secret.
I gotta start writing that on my journals. Maybe people will actually read them.
He puts an arcane mark on it that glows like neon.
And you see the acronym GROSS written on there? Get rid of slimy girls.
That was a thing?
That's a Calvin and Hobbes bit right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping that actually happened with you, but no, I knew that Calvin and Hobbes thing.
Okay, that's what you have strewn across everywhere.
That's amazing. I'm all about that journal, I guess, right? That's going to... it'll just be like, Dear Diary, I did it. I did the murders. That's it. This is case closed right
here. I am an evil man. Yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking look inside the diary?
Yeah, I want to crack open that diary.
Okay, so what you see is just Luca's day-to-day activity. But nothing beyond that.
Just did a little B&B business, did a little smuggling business, that kind of thing.
Just mostly B&B, you know, just day to day. Oh, I went over here in my realm today.
Okay. And how recently dated is this? Is there an entry for today or for yesterday?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. Hasn't been updated for 2 days before the murder took place. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, even so, it's more like thoughts, you know, not necessarily...
not necessarily a report of activity. Right. Okay.
Roll me an investigation check.
An investigation, you say? Not my strong suit. Investigation? That's a 7 on the die and a 6 total. I'm a good detective. Help
out. Okay. You got some backup there. The detectives are jumping in there.
Yeah.
So roll with advantage.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try that roll again. Ooh, went from a 7 to an 8. So that's now a total of 7 for my investigation.
Was that 18?
No.
Yes, I heard 18.
Audio's cutting out.
Audio's, it's shitty audio. Shitty audio. Forgive
us. Yeah, I heard 18.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard 18.
I like
I'm just
podcast.
Glad you can read.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the pictures.
And with an 18, yes, you can tell.
18, yeah.
Yes, you can tell that the journal is actually illusioned.
Oh.
That's right, buddy. Hold on. Go ahead. Sorry.
Illusion, Dad?
Yes, son.
Let me tell you all about it.
I want to share this with the group and say this book has been enchanted somehow. I don't know if what I'm seeing on these pages is necessarily real. Does anyone here know how to deal with this kind of magic?
No.
This magic is beyond me. Daymore?
Oh, let me see. No, sure can't.
Well,
we may have another way.
I'm about to hand this over to Kika and have her solve it the usual way, you know, have her smash it against the ground or something. Yeah.
Throw it at the wall.
If we can't figure this out.
No. Please. You were already so very helpful before. I don't think we need your help now.
Who, me?
Yes. I'm saying gold stars for earlier, but just it might be somebody else's turn, you know, somebody that doesn't have, you know, the strength of an owlbear.
Yeah, I guess,
I'm sure the city police have people who can take care of this.
So hey, that's a good point.
At least secure the item.
Yes, but I imagine we'd get a much better commission if we kept it to ourselves.
That's a good point, too. Maybe someone on staff can help us decipher it, and then we'll just take the credit when we bring it to the police.
I'll say this. I'll leave it as open-ended for y'all as possible. However which way you're going to spin it, this is y'all. I just facilitate the story.
While they're talking about extorting the owner of the journal to keep his secrets, I'm going to go investigate the necromancy books. I am a monster slayer, and one of my favorite enemies is undead, so I want to look through those books and see if there's anything that would, like, particularly summon a ghost, or if any of the pages are, like, really well-worn and have been looked at often, things like that.
Okay. You can tell in those books that... I mean, it's very, very basic necromancy type of information.
Like for beginners?
Yeah, essentially. You know, nothing too elaborate. What you do see is a break illusion spell on there, too.
Oh, there we go. I show that to Daymore.
Oh, this will come in handy.
And then you just stash it in your pocket.
Yep, sure do. And I go out of the library.
Damn, okay, drow.
No, I'm kidding. It's
I was gonna throw that book at you.
while he's holding it.
It's like, all right, Dammer, roll dexterity. Touch him. But anyway, so I'm gonna go ahead and use the break illusion spell on the journal.
Okay. When you do, river, you're still within the range and you're looking at the words, and obviously everybody else, Daymore, you can see it. Tracky, you can see it as well. All the words begin shifting and moving and twisting. And what you begin to read is a detailed recollection of his affairs with multiple women.
Ooh.
Oh. The names you see in there are Liliana Hamilton, Camille Atkins, Tessa Bennett.
Did we just pick up this guy's little black book?
That's why it's secret.
And you also, it also reveals Luca's slowly growing obsession with Sophie Taylor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
Damned high elves.
Sophie Taylor. It was Liliana was another one? Sorry, I'm taking his names down.
Yes, Liliana Hamilton. Let me see here. River, roll me another investigation check. Or maybe, no, make it perception. Perception check.
Okay. That'll be a dirty 20.
Ooh, okay. With the dirty 20, as you're reading the book, you step on that bill that fell out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like crinkled between your toes. Okay.
I'll pick it up and have a look at it. It's a bill. Okay.
And you take a look, and it's from nearly a century ago from a contracting company for work conducted in the cellar to cover up a cave-in. The bill has been paid in full.
In the cellar. Okay.
Think somebody's buried down there?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah. I'll share that information with the group.
What about this red piece of cloth that came out of the chest?
Red lady.
That's what I was thinking. I'm going to pick up the red piece of cloth. Does it look like it's like part of a dress or gown of any kind?
What's your passive perception?
16.
Oof.
You're not really sure. It could go in so many different directions just because of its high quality.
I'm going to pick up the hand mirror because I'm not a smart cat, but I am somewhat
vain.
Intuitive. On the subject of vanity, if this ghost is killing beautiful brides, a hand mirror symbolizes a lot of vanity, in my opinion. So I'm going to hang on to that mirror in case it comes in handy later.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the library door and just kind of stealthily peek up and down the hall to see if anyone is listening or if anyone's nearby.
Oh, that's what my spider was kind of there for.
Well, I didn't know you placed the spider.
Oh.
Okay, so that is 23.
Wow, okay. With a 23, there is nobody within the area. You can tell everyone else is pretty much downstairs where the lounge and the kitchen/wine cellar are.
Okay.
What other items fell out of the chest?
Ivory comb with the depiction of a rose on the handle, an old gold wedding ring with two rubies and a single diamond, two vials of holy water, that red fabric, the bill, and the mirror.
Does the wedding ring look like it is? It's got more of a slender cast to it, like it would be a female wedding ring?
Man, all these questions. Hell if I know, dude. I'll say yes.
Okay.
Well, we got to grab that holy water, given the direction things are going in with ghosts and necromancy.
And let's see, who has the lowest charisma right now?
I do. -1.
No. Just flat out charisma, not the modifier.
I'm right there with her.
15 for me, but that gets me +1, so probably not the lowest.
8.
8. Charisma is our dump stat.
It's all about that brawn, baby.
All right.
Says you.
In that case, Tracky.
Yes.
You hear like this melodic, sweet voice.
Release me from my bindings. You now know where to look.
And then it just, you don't hear anything after that.
I just heard a female voice telling me to release somebody from their bindings, and I know where to look.
I think they're talking about the cellar now that we've got the bill of work done there.
I believe that's what I mentioned out loud. Maybe.
Should we take all the stuff?
Yes. Yeah. But we should close up the secret door and keep the key. Make it look like we haven't looked around here in case somebody comes in looking after us.
Oops.
Because we've made a little bit of a mess.
We got a destroyed desk. I mean,
we don't want anyone running.
Place.
Anyone have prestidigitation?
I can.
You, Domar. Damar. Damor.
Domar.
What? Like, I can stunning strike the books. I got nothing.
Pika would like to start, like, kind of scooting things aside with her boot.
Okay. I'll do this. Everybody roll me a very quick intelligence check.
16 for Kika.
14.
5 for my beautiful dumb boy River.
15.
Okay, so Kika got the highest?
16, yeah.
Yeah. So you find a book on, it's more of a children's book that you see, on casting prestidigitation.
Pictures! Wait, I don't think she can learn it. She's a ranger, but... I don't think that's part of the spells she can learn. Unless
was
she can
it right next to the Was it right next to the book on thaumaturgy?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Give it to the drow.
Give thaumaturgy to the drow?
Prestidigitation.
And it's written phonetically, too, so you can read it better.
Say, that's a big word.
Yeah, so on the inside, you see a little goblin with a stick, and then it points it at an object, and you see how it's supposed to work. And congratulations, you can now cast Prestidigitation.
Kika would like to try it out.
And you do so repeatedly until everything goes back to where it was.
Aww.
Yay. Perfect.
All right, so let's pause here for a sec so I can go get my beer.
Beer break.
Now, mind you, this is the last beer of my previous stash, so I've been waiting for Tyler to be on the show before I drink it.
Oh, aww, man.
You feel special.
I'll be right back.
Out for your homie.
Hell no.
Yeah, no. Drink it all. Pour it into your mouth for your homie.
I shall return.
I'm going to grab a quick drink, too, then. Actually, I'll be back.
Yep, break.
Hey, everybody. This is DM Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. I just wanted to take the time to personally thank Tyler Hewitt for coming out on our show. We had a lot of laughs the entire session, and it was a real great time. We had a great interview before playing through the one-shot, which I've attached at the end of this episode. There are some big reveals on there, so be sure to stand by after the finale for that bonus interview. And also, thank you to Tara Hooper for the permission to run this awesome one-shot. We all fell in love with it. More on that in the postmortem. I got to get back to the episode, but don't forget to keep an eye out for that postmortem. It's going to be released later. All right, that's it from me. Let's get back to the murder mystery. Thanks. Back to the story. Everyone is leaving the library. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I don't think anyone's staying behind.
No, okay. I'm going with everyone.
All right. So the two.
Well, rooms. I'm going to, but just real quick, I tell my spider to get back in my pocket, and it does. And then a few seconds later, it jumps back out, but as a cat.
Oh, cool.
And I tell it to follow behind and keep an eye out on our tails.
Okay, so you have two locations left. You have the lounge and you have the wine cellar.
Well, I think wine cellar is the hottest lead we have so far.
Yeah, it sounds like that's where we need to be going. Yeah.
All right, so as you're walking into the wine cellar, you walk through the kitchen and also walk past Harriet Sturgis and Sophie Taylor on your way.
Oh, hey, Sophie. Maybe start looking for another job soon. Just like for your own good.
She's very nervous. What? Why?
Has Lord Von Helter been acting differently towards you over the past maybe couple weeks or months than he used to?
As soon as you mention his name, she just kind of locks up, goes wide-eyed. I don't know. I don't think so. Yes? No?
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, you know, maybe there's an opening at the kitchen at Lord What's-His-Name's Manor.
Great, but I would need a reference. I have no reference.
And I think River, just not knowing how references work, would be like, I'll write you a reference. Yeah. What a really? Reference? I got a reference for you.
That would be great. That would be outstanding. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Sophie.
Yes?
Where were you at midnight?
I was done cleaning up the kitchen, and I was actually hanging out with Harriet.
Where were you both? In the lounge?
No, we were actually in the servants' quarters, in the back.
Did you hear any unusual noises or anything like that last night?
No, you really can't hear anything from way back there in the back of the servants' quarters.
And why is that?
Because it's so far away.
Does Lord Von Helter ever visit the servants' quarters?
She locks up again. I don't know.
Kika would like to intimidate her to be more honest.
I support this.
All right, roll an advantage.
Rolled a 16 and proficient.
All right, roll again. See if you can get higher.
3.
Okay. Well, it's an advantage, so the DC was 5, so you're good.
Okay.
And with that, she tells you everything. I'm the chef. I've been here for about a year. I get nervous around Mr. Luca whenever his name is mentioned. I keep to myself, and my cares are not for the gossip of the house. With that intimidation, she ultimately tells you that Luca has tried to have inappropriate relations with her on more than one occasion.
Ooh, yeah, get out of there, girl.
Has tried?
Has tried, yes.
Oh, typical of high elves.
Mm. I can't trust them.
Your stupid pretty faces.
Do we recall if we got the name of the bride who was just killed this morning? What was her name?
Are you asking Sophie, or are you asking the DM?
I'm asking the DM.
Oh, okay. Yes, but y'all never actually flat out asked what their names were, so I never gave it to
you. That's true, isn't it? We were just like, ah, yeah, they're dead.
I thought the person writing down all the names was writing down those names as well.
Yeah, hold on a second. Where?
Our scribe's broken. We need a new one.
Okay, the two previous victims. And again, y'all never really pushed Lyra for a whole ton of questions. Mm. But she does tell you that the two previous women's names are Camille Atkins and Tessa Bennett from the previous murders that she was investigating.
Weren't there three names in that journal aside from Sophie's?
Yeah, but one of them was Liliana Hamilton, and that's not mentioned as one of the previous victims.
So I'm wondering if the victim from this morning was Liliana Hamilton, because that's a smoking gun right there.
Mm. Well, I mean, this guy's broken a lot of laws so far, just in terms of, like, labor laws. He's a smuggler, workplace harassment.
Oh, damn it. Okay, keep talking, guys. I'm still looking.
Okay, so the names that I've been taken down, Sophie Taylor and Liliana Hamilton were mentioned in the book, and a third name that I neglected to write down.
The Camille something.
Camille? Was Camille a victim, or was she in the book?
She was a previous, Camille Atkins previous and victim. Tessa Bennett. Yeah, Tessa Bennett. Okay. Those are the two previous.
They were previously victims. Okay, Tessa
Bennett. Yeah, so we're missing a victim, and I want to make sure that it's the one we found.
Mm-hmm.
Liliana was one of the two that were outside.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, there that's a smoking gun right there then.
And well, we don't actually have anything that pins him to it. We have a lot of incriminating evidence.
I think with the combination of necromancy stuff, I think the Red Lady is real, but I think she's... I think this guy was married.
Yeah, I think she's his former wife or mistress. Yeah.
Think we should interview him before we go to the wine cellar? Get some of that ironed out, or should we go to the wine cellar first?
I think we should go to the wine cellar first. I think we should gather as much evidence as possible, so...
Oh, okay.
We and have come, what we need to confront him with. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Or something else might show up that points in a different direction.
Yeah, maybe.
So far, this is pretty cut and dry. I'm waiting for the twist.
Yeah, yeah. Twist is the butler, did it.
You would know where the key was. He could have glamored the
the journal.
Okay, and I'm not finding the husband's name, but...
At the risk of being sounding like a bad detective, it doesn't sound like it's important.
Okay, well, if it comes up, obviously, I'll point it out, but...
Yeah.
He died on impact. I mean, that's just a throwaway plot device. He's not important.
Is he really?
His name is Red Herring.
Red Herring. Yeah, it was R-E-D-D, Red.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so y'all are going into the wine cellar?
I think so. I think, with that intimidation on Sophie, she's probably not got much else to say.
Okay, so you went past Sophie. Harriet was nearby too, but you're heading into the wine cellar. As you descend the stairs towards the cellar, you begin to feel a chill. It's getting colder with each step.
An episode of Supernatural.
Hey. As you continue down, it becomes more difficult to breathe. It's clear that no one comes to the cellar often. Reaching the bottom of the staircase, you are greeted by a single wooden door. Upon entering the cellar proper, you're greeted by a myriad of rugs, chairs, tables, paintings, mirrors, and even a broken statue. It appears as though the wine cellar is also being used for storage. Moving beyond the storage area, a large tapestry covers most of the wall. Wine racks filled to capacity are situated in the back of the cellar.
looking behind the tapestry.
I'll look at the paintings.
You look at the painting.
What? Yeah, I want to look at the tapestry actually. If it like what scene it conveys.
You're looking behind the tapestries?
I am. He's looking directly at it. Okay. To see what it looks like.
Funny enough, it doesn't give me a description of the tapestry.
Oh, it's not important. I'm bored. I look at the tapestries. Like, that's boring. That's dumb. And then I look around at other stuff.
Okay. And then let's see. That would be Tracky. You're saying you're looking behind the tapestry?
Correct.
Roll me an intelligence check.
14.
With that.
Sorry, 11.
Oh. Never mind, then you don't see anything.
Kika would like to look around on the floor and at the walls to see where the repairs may have been made.
Okay, then roll me that intelligence check as well.
I lucked out, natural 20. I lucked out so hard on that one. Okay, and what else do I need to go with that? Intelligence?
Yeah, that was intelligence. So natural 20, intelligence check.
20, yeah.
Alrighty. In that case, you're looking... right over Tracky's shoulder.
Yeah.
And where you see where he's just, oh, man, there's nothing here, and turns around to walk away. Kika, you can see that the wall can be knocked down with a large object.
It just so happens you're a large object.
I was just thinking that. Excuse me, Tracky. I would like to go in.
Go in. So, okay. Step back.
She proceeds to swing her mace, stretches, and then goes to hit the wall like her mace is a baseball bat.
Okay. Roll that attack roll.
Is it just a die roll, or do I need to add anything onto it?
Your attack.
I rolled a 16.
Total.
What else am I supposed to modify that with? Strength?
With your attack, yeah.
Okay, so it would be 18 total.
You shatter that wall. Sweet. And the bricks all... Normally, the bricks would fall backwards, but you've pulverized everything. Crumbles. The first thing you hear is... Then the next thing you see are these bones behind the wall.
I'm going to approach the bones. Do we all hear the voice this time?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to approach the bones and examine them.
Okay. Is everyone joining?
Yes, but at a distance. Okay. A few steps back.
I'm right up in them bones.
All right. As soon as you do, you notice... that her eyes suddenly turn a brilliant shade of red, and everybody, let's roll initiative.
Rolling initiative. Oh, 7 for Kika.
19. Wow.
That's 22 for River.
Damn. Daymore, haven't heard anything from you?
I said a 21.
21, okay. All right, so there's going to go River, Daymore, Atraki, Kika, and then this character.
Okay. Are the bones moving or assembling or anything like that?
You actually see a ghost appearing above the bones as they're glowing. Now, what you are seeing as well, it appears that there's to be some kind of struggle against some unknown force.
I see. I'm going to, against all of my, like, metagaming instinct, I'm going to attempt to communicate with this ghost.
Okay.
I'm going to say, hey, are you the red lady? If so, you are under arrest.
Yeah! That's right. Yeah, there
you go. There you go. She just keeps repeating.
I want you to know I am going to spend my... Like, she hasn't attacked me or attacked or anything, so I am going to spend my turn like just trying to communicate with her. You let me know when I'm out of time and we got to go to someone else. Help you with what? How can we help you?
And you see her just struggling, you know, just pulled and pushed and just tormented.
Holy water.
Yeah, you think so? We got two vials of it. I'll open one and I'll sprinkle it over the bones, I guess.
Let's do this. Wow, that's actually pretty good. Roll for one vial. Let's make it 2d6 of radiant damage.
2d6. So that is a total of 9 radiant damage.
Okay. You see that her shape starts to turn into little bits of speckles of, I don't want to say translucency, I guess more transparency. Like, you're making holes in her soul.
Oh, God. I thought I was just giving her bones a drink.
You said it was how much damage?
Nine.
Nine, okay.
Nine on the dice.
Beautiful. Okay, and...
I think I'll back away at that because I'm getting kind of freaked out.
Okay, next up is Daymor.
All right, so what I'm thinking I'm going to do is give you an idea. Three illusory duplicates of yourself appear in your space until the spell ends. The duplicates move with you and mimic your actions, shifting positions, so it's impossible to track which image is real. You can use your action to dismiss the illusions. Basically, I have four me's.
Oh my God. River is terrified of the three new ghosts that have appeared. So crowded.
But no, really, I do actually have to go. I gotta go to work, guys.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, it's 7 minutes to 8 and my ride's already here.
Oh, foo. Okay.
Union rules. She finishes her shift now.
Kika bails. She just walks out. She's like, nope. 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 Spider's fine. This thing? Nope.
That's okay. Then, all right, cool. Kika develops a fear of ghosts.
She already has a favorite enemy in aberrations. This is just stacking it now.
All right, then have a good night working.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Hopefully... It was nice to meet you and great playing with you.
Yep. Yes, it was fun. We shall do it again soon. And
thanks for knocking down the wall.
Yeah, I'm glad to be your strong arm in this campaign. Yes, it's great.
Heck yeah. Alrighty, get out of here, girl.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
After I cast mirrored image, I'm going to use my bonus action to hide.
All right, and they all hide with you, right?
Yes, they do.
Next up is Trekkie.
I am readying an arrow, and I'm actually coming up closer to investigate the ground around the bones, because I'm thinking out loud now in character. Something's holding her here until she's summoned, because she's trapped on the other side of the wall. She's not actually coming forward yet. Oh. And she came out to murder somebody and then went back. But the thing we're missing is ghosts don't leave knife wounds unless they're carrying a knife. So I'm looking for that knife or however she's being bound here.
Roll a religion check.
I actually have advantage on this because of my favorite enemy.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Natural 20.
Nice. Okay. Right when we need it.
Heck yeah. You figured out that whenever River sprinkled the holy water, that is pretty standard for exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And with a natural 20, you also know that that's only half of what is needed to be done. The other half is you have to offer a small prayer.
Do we want to rid the world of her yet before... I mean, she's evidence.
Not until I've read her rights, or her last rites.
I mean, she deserves to be at peace, but this is evidence.
You think we can get a confession out of her before we send her to the other side?
No, I'm thinking we can get the police down here to see all of the things that we've gathered and her standing there. I mean, her bones are right there. She's begging for us to help her.
I can run and get the police. I've got Tabaxi agility. I have a speed of 45.
Where the hell is Luca while we're doing all this?
Luca...
He was in the lobby with the officer, I think.
Yes.
Well, let's see if we can get him to come down here and explain this. Maybe we need to go get him. Can I make an investigation check around that area to see if I can find, like, a murder weapon or something? Because I'm still thinking that there's a missing blade.
Yeah.
23. I'm sorry, 23.
With a 23, you notice absolutely nothing. There's nothing here except the bones.
Okay. So we're not done yet.
And tell the ghost time out.
I'm going to hold my attack action. If she makes a move out of the area that I think she's trapped in, then I'm going to fire at her. Okay. And that'll end my turn.
Alrighty. And by that point, Kika already just booked it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then so this ghost looks over at River, who sprinkled the water. And I need you to make a charisma saving throw.
Charisma save.
She's going to get you to try to complete it.
Natural 1. Oh.
Oh,
I hate to see
nice.
It.
Nice.
With that natural 1, River, you lose all control of your body. You don't.
I poop my pants. Control. It all just comes out.
All right. And once you lose control of your body, you feel something forcing you to pull out your weapon and move towards Daymor.
Okay. And that is a staff in this scenario. River fights with a staff.
What, glaive? I heard glaive. It's a glaive, right?
Yeah, it is a glaive.
No, it's not.
Plus okay. Seven glaive. Look out.
And I'm hidden, so them gonna find me.
Well, he's your buddy. He knows exactly where you went, dude. And with that, that ends her turn. So top of the order, River, do me another charisma saving throw.
Sure. That's a little better, but not great. That's a total of 7.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm getting some really bad audio. You said 17?
I did say 17.
And with that, the spell is broken. Okay.
Well, I'm assuming I'm well aware that she just tried to pull some shit on me there. So I'm gonna march right back in there and wail on her.
Alrighty.
Behave.
Yeah. So I'll start by attacking with my staff.
Okay.
So that's 13 plus 7, so that's a dirty 20.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's a hit.
Yes, that's a hit. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm swinging on her two-handed there. Oh, and that's an 8 on the D8. Plus 4, so 12 damage. And I'm going to follow that up with an unarmed strike. You know what? Let's burn a key point and do flurry of blows and do 2 unarmed strikes.
Okay.
And for the purposes of that, I actually have an ability called key strikes. My unarmed strikes are considered magic for overcoming any kind of defenses that creatures may have, like punching ghosts.
And that's for all your punches, not just the flurry of blows?
That's right, all unarmed attacks, yeah. So I'll just roll to hit 2 more times. That's a 13 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, and the follow-up is a 16 on the die, so that'll do.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's a d6 for each. So I'll just roll those now. That is, wow, 20 damage.
Total?
Yeah.
Including the first one?
Not including the staff. I rolled 2d6, they each rolled 6, and it's plus 4 for each one. So 10 each, 20.
God damn, okay. So it was a real good call, because this one has damage resistance to bludgeoning.
Oh, okay.
So it took full-on damage when you turned everything to a magic.
Perfect.
And just chunks of her are just, you know what? No, give us that mind picture. How do you do it, man?
I say, get out of my head! And I go in there and I swing once with the staff, and it somewhat harmlessly goes through right through her body, right? Like there's maybe a little bit of damage there, but obviously that's not what I'm looking for. So I use the full momentum of my two-handed swing and I flip around and I do one of those kind of like a sideways, two sideways kicks where my feet leave the floor from the momentum of my swing and they flash up and strike her in the chest.
Wow. Okay. And so with that, she doubles back, which everyone else is baffled how you're able to knock back a ghost like that.
The name's River in the Valley. Ghost Kicker. Don't you forget it.
Okay. I think we just named the session now. Holy cow.
Ghost Kicker.
Ghost Kicker. All right. And you see her phantasmal form kind of fizzle quite a bit. You can tell she's barely hanging on. It looks like bad reception from an old 1980s TV. Trucky, you're up.
So she's gone?
No, she's fading. You can tell she's
okay.
Barely hanging on there.
Give me a physical description of her. Does she look like she's wearing red?
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay.
sorry, she's a ghost. I mean, she looks rather ghostly.
I'm going to try to get her to respond to me before I attack her. Okay. How can we help you? Did Luca do this to you?
And again, all I hear is,
okay, she wants to be released, and she's not going to say anything else. Okay, I'm going to use my bonus action to declare her as the Slayer's prey, and then I'm going to attack her with my magical vicious longbow. 17 for the first.
That hits.
Okay, so that is 9 points of damage, and then the second attack is going to be a 23, which hits.
That hits.
For another 6 points. And I'm just going to step back a little bit, just to give myself a little bit more range between myself and her.
Cool. She is barely just hanging on. And for her turn, again, she is struggling. She is struggling so hard. And again, everyone just keeps hearing,
"Help me!"
And River?
Mm-hmm. Oh, did she spend her turn doing that?
Yep.
Okay. Still incensed that she would try and make me attack my friends, I'm going to try and finish her off. This time with four strikes, all unarmed attacks. I'll put the staff away and like crack my knuckles and, mm-hmm. and take swing at her. I forgot to apply my extra attack last time, so I'm just going to roll four hits right now.
Okay.
See what comes up. So rolling the first one, that's a nat 20, good lord.
Damn.
That's a 3 on the die on the other one, so a total of 10 to hit. That's a nat 1, oh my god, on the third one. And then that's a, that's an 18 to hit on the fourth one.
Okay.
So how do you guys like to do critical damage here? Is it just the maximum amount or is it rolling double dice?
Double. We do double.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2d6 for the first hit because it's a crit. And there was there one or two more successful ones when I rolled a 10 and I think an 18?
Those are good.
Okay, so I'm rolling a total of 4d6 here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 13 on the dice plus, God... Plus 12.
Wow.
4 times 3. Yeah, it's plus 4 in each hit.
All right, describe how you kill her.
I think it's the critical hit that does it, actually. The first strike, being a monk, River focuses his ki into his clenched fist and it glows with spiritual energy and he drives it straight into her chest. And she kind of disappears around his arm.
Nice. And again, the visual that I have is that you squat down like a little cat and now it does that shoulder hip wiggle right before it bounces.
Yes, definitely. The eyes... biggest saucers here. Just huge. And the butt wiggle happens and he springs up and I've changed it. It's now a shoryuken just carving up her. And that is the last thing she sees is my big, big eyes just coming at her. Well, yeah. Have you ever seen your cat fight some kind of invisible adversary? Have you ever seen that? Yes. Well, that's what's going on here. Is it's just she's a ghost, so I don't know, right? Like, she could be anywhere. So just a couple extra chops and kicks just all around my immediate vicinity to make sure she's not just disappeared on me.
I think our cat listeners just went up like 1,000 times over. And okay, after that, you see the rest of her just dissipate immediately. And you see everyone looks down at the bones and the bones turn to dust and they just start swirling around and dissipate. And everybody hears a sigh of relief as a soft white light fades from view. She comes back and tells all of y'all that where Luca keeps the murder weapon is his cane. She details Luca's involvement in each of the previous murders. She tells all of y'all of his many affairs and how she had planned to leave him, and he killed her the night she was packing to leave. He bound her to this world and hid her bones so that she could never move on to the afterlife. And thanks, all of you, especially you, River, once more, and then fades away slowly.
Mm. So she's saying the butler did it. I knew it the whole time. I knew it. Well, we got to bring all this. We got to bring this to Officer Lyra right away. We got to lock up Luca Von Helter.
Now we know where the murder weapon is. We don't have the bones. We don't have the ghost, but we do have the murder weapon, so that's good, I suppose.
Yeah, we got his journal. That damages his character.
Yeah.
Because we also broke the illusion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Also have the witness, too.
The witness?
Yeah, Sophie, said that Luca has tried to make moves on her.
Right, yes.
And her name was in the book.
So, character witness, yeah.
Yeah, that's a strong enough case for me. Good enough for the girls I go with.
I suppose it's damning.
I think that's a phrase.
If he's foolish enough not to have wiped the blood off of the dagger, too.
Yeah, let's go check out that cane.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody walks towards the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all notice Deputy Lyra? Yeah, you see her standing right there. You see Luca is in the process of leaving.
What? Stop him.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
I'm running to get in his way. As I'm getting in his way, I am knocking an arrow and drawing down on him and telling him, you will stay where you are.
Okay.
I'll come up behind him, too. Let's box him in.
All right, so I think what we're going to do is keep the same initiative roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, River, you have the floor.
Okay. I'm going to attack him with my staff, and I'm going to make it a stunning strike.
All right.
First I need to actually roll to hit him. Good Lord. So that's a 9 to hit.
Damn, this audio. What was that, 19?
Yeah, it was a 19. Good Lord, as in it's a very good number, 19.
That hits.
And so stunning strike, he needs to make a con save, which I believe is 10 plus my wisdom. So that's a 13 that he's got to beat.
Oh, wow. So his con is a plus 0, and he gets a 12.
Ooh. So he is stunned.
All right. Trekkie, anything?
Did you say that the main detective was right there?
Right there.
Okay. We have all the evidence we need. Where's his cane? Is he holding it right now?
He's holding it as he's trying to run out, and because he's stunned, he's just holding that position of him trying to book it, and the cane is in his hand.
Yeah, I'm taking that cane out of his hands. Do I need to roll for that, or he's immobile right now?
He's immobile. It would be like a disadvantage for him, so yeah, you make quick work of it.
Okay, so I take the cane from his hands, mm-hmm. and toss it to the detective and tell her the dagger is in the cane. That's the murder weapon.
Okay, and as soon as you do, she grabs it and in true form just pulls it open, and there's the blade. Okay, so after arresting Luca, Deputy Nolan reconvenes with y'all and congrats y'all on your hard work. Just as you all begin to turn away, a bright white light appears and begins to speak.
Thank you for saving me from his control. He had been using me to do terrible things for nearly a century. Lyra, I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I wish I had been braver back when they told me to marry Luca. I wish I'd followed my heart. I'm sorry.
The light fades from view as tears roll down Lyra's face. She reveals that she once wished to marry Elise, the ghost there, but her parents thought Laika a more appropriate suitor. She removes a grand diamond from her pocket and begins chanting softly. Another bright flash of light fills the room, and a woman stands before you. Perhaps now we will get that chance, Deputy Nolan says softly as she walks towards the newly revived Elise.
What? Amazing. She revived her?
She revived her.
That's huge. Does she have anything to say to her dipshit husband who's about to go to jail forever and ever?
Okay. No, she turns around, looks at her, and she's like, what did she say? She goes, chicks before dicks, asshole. And
yeah.
I still have that ring. So I pull it out and walk over to him, and I say, you want to sell this for your dowry?
Awesome. And
I just hand it to him.
As he's still stunned?
He should be, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or is he busy? He's still stunned.
Okay, very cool.
I mean, if getting hit in the nads didn't stun him again, I don't know what will.
Yeah, he's getting restrained and then taken out of here.
Absolutely. All right, job well done. Another case closed.
That's right.
All right, guys, you're the cops. Hit me with a catchphrase.
Got away this time, Butler. Isaac Whitley, I got my eye on you.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, guys. You have solved the case, and we just finished playing through Love Sorrow by Tara Hooper.
Love Sorrow. That was a good module. I enjoyed that.
It was.
Ghost Kickers solve another one.
Right. Yeah.
Now we're going to ride off into the night in a, what was it, like a 76 Charger?
Battle wagon.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Two things. Can you give us a plug for both of your podcasts? I want to get that on record. I got a little bit with Tom, but I just had this huge fanboy moment having him on because I love your show. I love y'all's characters. I love Tom's DMing style. I mean, Quinny by far is like the best halfling I have ever had the pleasure of listening to.
Man, thank you.
Yeah.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, well, honestly, what sold to me was the fuck harness.
favorite, huh? Well, that's all right. There's probably more to come.
Well, yeah, I mean, just that whole scenario, the first time, you know, y'all mentioned it, I'm going, wait, hold on. What just happened?
Some bad rolls lands me in a leather strapped fuck harness.
Yeah.
That was a charisma check, too. I was just talking to someone.
Yeah, and that was during the Thiefies, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. A little bit before?
A little bit before, yeah.
That was with Kat Letwin, who was not Peter Baelish.
Yes. Yes, that's during, right.
Yeah. The fuck harness has made a series of comebacks, much to my chagrin. I can't seem to get rid of that thing.
yeah, it sucks when it's canon, man, but it's there.
As far as plugs go, actually, I have some pretty big announcements. I think this is stuff that we've only really mentioned on our Patreon page thus far, but we have a number of additional actual play podcasts being prepared, being recorded. They're almost ready to be released, so you can expect some new ongoing tabletop RPG podcasts from us probably around the end of November. So currently, the two podcasts that you mentioned earlier that we do is Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, which is our actual play, Dragons 5th Edition, where you can find my character, Quinny Brownbarrow, in a fuck harness from time to time.
With good intentions, of course.
Well, yes, yeah, of course. Our great DM, Tom McGee, who has been a guest on your show before, Ryan LaPlante, plays our cleric of a god that he made up, and Laura Hamstring on Twitter. She plays Alan, a extremely naive but deadly wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yes.
We basically release a new episode every week on Mondays. We often get local comedians, writers, performers in the Greater Toronto Area to come on as guest characters. Some have made multiple appearances and things like that. And our other podcast is called Garbage Town, the movie review podcast, where we basically review sometimes new, sometimes old movies, and basically rip them into one most of the time. Sometimes we like it. Most of the time, we just joke around about it. Ryan provides all kinds of in-the-industry insight. Tom provides the enthusiasm, and I provide shitty jokes.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I actually started listening to y'all whenever I was trying to catch up on, well, when I was caught up on Adventure Zone episodes, and at the time it was also Critical Role.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what else am I going to look for? And then I just came across Dum Dums and Dragons, and I was like, okay, I'll give this a try, you know? And within the first, like, 15 minutes, I was sold. Just the interactions everybody held with each other, and just the fact that all of y'all are improv comedians?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that, because we... In hindsight, we were worried that we were kind of scaring a lot of our listeners off by one of our characters kind of opening up, being like, hello, my name is Butthole Farch, because that really sets the tone for the rest of the podcast. But I appreciate that, and I'm glad you found us.
Yeah, for sure. It's just a lot of good energy between everybody there. It's fascinating. I loved it. Absolutely fell in love with it.
Well, you can look forward to, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but fuck it, right?
YOLO. Yeah.
You can look forward to Call of Cthulhu from us. Call of Cthulhu podcast. You can look forward to a Star Wars RPG podcast from us, and you can look forward to a Vampire the Masquerade podcast coming up.
Really?
We're doing some one-shot with just new cast of characters and things like that, trying out new stuff. I might do a little DMing. Ryan might do a little DMing. We'll see. Oh. The one-shots are where we just kind of throw the formula out the window and try different shit. So all that stuff is in the pipe and hopefully coming out sometime late November, early December.
Holy smokes. Okay. And I think that's about it for everybody. Wow, that's awesome, man. That's great to see. Normally what I was going to do is put all of these episodes, all these sessions that I've been recording all week long on ice, so that way I can just release them a little bit at a time before we start season two. But now I got to release this one, dude. I got to get this one. Man.
Sorry if I put that on you.
I love a good challenge, man. I love a good challenge.